This is The Growth Journey. Real life, real growth, divinely inspired. Where military discipline meets a ministry heart. With 40 years of life-shaping experience, including 22 years on active duty, and a deep calling to ministry, David Averett, CEO and founder of CAJL Outreach Nationwide, shares spirit-led wisdom and practical tools to transform your life. He's also the author of an ebook on growth, bringing even more insight to help you flourish in faith, marriage, leadership, character, church, and business. Ready for divinely inspired results? Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Have you ever found yourself, in that place where you felt like you couldn't really lead until you had that specific title?
Oh, absolutely. That corner office, the big promotion.
Yeah.
It feels like a gatekeeper, doesn't it?
It really does. It's like a super common experience. So many of us are sort of conditioned to believe leadership is, well, exclusively for those formal positions.
But what if that's just not true? What if that whole belief is, you know, a powerful myth, something holding us back?
Exactly. What if your biggest potential for leadership isn't tied to that formal authority at all? What if it's actually about the influence you can build right now, right where you are?
No title needed, just impact.
Precisely. So today on the Deep Dive, we're really going to dig into that. We're embarking on a journey to embrace this really transformative idea beyond the title. Unlock your true leadership power.
Yeah, let's challenge those old notions. Let's figure out how to lead, how to inspire, create impact in ways maybe we haven't thought of.
And it's interesting how this connects back to, well, really ancient wisdom, doesn't it?
It really does. You think about Matthew 23, verse 11, which says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant."
Shall be your servant. That just flips the whole script on what leadership usually looks like or what we think it looks like.
It's a powerful foundational truth. It completely reorients our understanding of, you know, greatness and leadership.
That's a perfect lens for our depth dive today. And we're incredibly fortunate because we're exploring insights from someone who has, well, really lived this stuff for decades, David Averett.
Right. David Averett, he's the CEO and founder of CAJL Outreach. He's also a chaplain with the organization.
And importantly, retired military personnel. That combination is quite unique.
It really is. And his perspective is shaped by, get this, over 40 years of deep Bible knowledge. We're talking college, military leadership training.
Not as a chaplain in the military, though, right? Just to be clear, he was military personnel, a leader there.
Correct. Military leadership experience. Then his current role is a chaplain in the jail system. Plus, extensive online studies, a whole lifetime studying the Word.
And maybe most importantly, that deep personal time spent with God, prayer, meditation, he's really walked this path.
He absolutely has. So we're diving into a really powerful memoir that Chaplain David penned himself. It's titled The Silent Leaders, Wielding Power Without the Podium.
Wielding Power Without the Podium. I love that. It's not just a book, is it? It sounds like a journey.
It really is. A journey into the heart of leading, not from some high platform, but from within, right alongside people.
And David Averett sets the stage perfectly in his memoir with a quote that just captures the essence. He says, "The ultimate test of a leader is not in the trials they overcome, but in the influence they build when no one is watching."
Ooh, when no one is watching. That hits differently, doesn't it?
It really does. It suggests this hidden intrinsic power, something that's there whether you get credit for it or not.
Right. It's about character, consistency.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Well, over the next little while, we're going deep. We're looking at the power of personal influence.
Uncovering practical, like really actionable strategies to amplify your impact.
We'll explore some real-world examples too, people who led through influence. And crucially, how these timeless ideas are, well, maybe more vital than ever in our dynamic digital 21st century.
Yeah, the landscape's changed, but these principles hold. Get ready to maybe shed that illusion of limited leadership.
And embrace your true potential. To inspire, innovate, make a lasting difference, no matter your title.
Okay, let's dive in. But first, a quick note.
Yes. Important note for you, our listener. To really maximize our time today and, you know, get to the core of Chaplain David's memoir, we've focused on delivering the key actionable insights.
Right. So for this discussion, we've consciously decided to set aside some of the incredibly detailed scriptural references and the extensive supporting explanations that are woven throughout his full memoir. It's really rich.
It is, but for a truly comprehensive exploration, including all of Chaplain David's supporting scriptures and that deep background research,
you'll want to visit the CA Jail Outreach website. The full 37-page memoir on this topic is right there.
And for your convenience, the direct link is right in the deep dive description. Just tap it.
Easy peasy.
And as we officially welcome you to the Silent Leaders, Wielding Power Without the Podium, this deep dive is brought to you by CA Jail Outreach. We should share a bit more about their mission.
Yeah, absolutely. CA Jail Outreach is really dedicated to providing hope and, crucially, second chances for inmates and their families during what are often incredibly difficult, challenging times.
So as you reflect on this message today, this idea of leadership and influence,
we just ask that you keep the children impacted by the justice system in your thoughts and prayers. It's truly through no fault of their own that their lives are touched when a loved one in their household faces these circumstances.
Well, their well-being is a huge focus, a really vital mission.
It truly is.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's unpack this foundational concept David Averitt introduces right at the start of his memoir. Segment one, debunking leadership myths, influence over authority.
Right. It feels like we need to cut through, I don't know, decades, maybe centuries, of just common misconceptions about what leadership really is.
So what's the biggest myth? The one that really holds us back.
Well, Chaplain David puts it so simply, yet so powerfully. He says, leadership isn't a title. It's a choice to ignite change from right where you are.
A choice to ignite change. That's not passive at all.
Not at all. Yeah. It's more than just a catchy phrase. It's a profound call to action. It urges us to shift our entire perspective, right? From waiting for permission to actively choosing to lead.
I can feel the weight of that. So the big myth, really, is believing you need a title. And this belief, it doesn't just stop us from acting. It actually affects our attitude, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It subtly but powerfully erodes our innate leadership gifts. It's like rust on a finely tuned engine, just slowly degrading potential.
Yeah, we start to defer, we wait, we feel powerless just because a certain word isn't on our business card.
Exactly. And the truth, which Mr. Averitt just keeps coming back to in the memoir, is that influence always holds more power than formal authority. Always.
Always. That's a strong statement.
He argues it has always been the enduring currency of leadership. Think about it. A title might compel compliance, sure, but only real influence can inspire genuine commitment, passionate action. People want to follow influence.
Okay, so if influence is the real currency, we need to get a handle on it. What exactly is influence in this context, and who are these informal leaders we hear about?
Good questions. Influence, at its core, is simply the ability to affect others' behavior in a particular direction. But, and this is key, not through force or hierarchy.
Right, not commanding.
No. It's about engaging and inspiring people to act willingly, building a desire within them to align with your ideas or vision.
It's like using an analogy David Averitt might like, less about commanding the ship and more about being the strong current that guides it.
That's a great way to put it. It's like selling your ideas because others genuinely believe in them. They see the value for themselves and for the whole group.
That makes a huge difference, the willing engagement. Okay, so these informal leaders, they guide others without the official title. Where does their power actually come from them? Is it just something they're born with?
Well, it's a fascinating mix, actually. Their power often stems from a combination of factors that people deeply respect. Things like seniority, yeah, sometimes.
But more than that.
Much more. Consistently demonstrated skill. Definitely. A quiet maturity that just inspires confidence, an inherent ability to guide others through tricky situations, and often a really palpable passion and enthusiasm for their work. It's contagious.
So these are the people recognized by their peers, the ones you naturally turn to for advice.
Exactly. The trusted advisors, the sounding boards, the ones people go to for help solving problems or just getting a clear perspective, even if they aren't technically their boss. Their influence is earned day by day. It's not assigned.
That's a really insightful breakdown. Now, Mr. Averitt also has this really forward-thinking take on the future of leadership. He says in the memoir, the future of leadership isn't in corner offices, but in interconnected networks of influence.
Networks of influence.
How does that play out today? It feels particularly relevant now with everything so interconnected.
It's absolutely critical now. Today's organizations are so dynamic, right? Rapid change, complex challenges. The old formal rigid hierarchies, they're often just insufficient. They can't keep up.
They can't drive the innovation and collaboration needed.
Exactly. And this is where informal leaders become indispensable. They step into those gaps. They play this crucial complementary role. They often shape the actual organizational culture from the ground up just by modeling behaviors and values.
And they act as communication conduits, like bridging gaps.
Vital communication conduits. Yeah. Bridging the gap between formal management and the wider staff. They translate, they clarify, they build understanding.
So they're not just influential individuals. They're like the connective tissue of the organization, helping it respond and adapt.
That's a perfect metaphor. Think about a huge change, like implementing totally new software across the company.
Okay, yeah. Big disruption.
Formal directives can announce it, sure.
Yeah.
But it's the informal leaders, using their trusted relationships and their practical understanding, who can actually guide the organization through that challenge.
They get the buy-in at the ground level.
They garner that support. They address the real concerns people have. They minimize resistance. They make the whole transition smoother, more successful.
Mm-hmm.
And David Everett stresses this ability to influence without authority. It's not just a nice-to-have skill.
It's essential.
It's indispensable for professionals at all levels. It's instrumental in securing genuine buy-in, getting things done, and honestly, advancing your own career, too.
It really sounds like the whole idea of organizational strength is shifting fundamentally away from just titles and positions.
It absolutely is. True strength is moving away from just positional power, that authority you get just from a title. And it's shifting profoundly towards what David Everett calls relational capital.
Relational capital. Tell me more about that.
It refers to those robust networks of genuine relationships, the social capital you build up over time. These natural leaders, these hidden heroes, as he calls them.
Hidden heroes. I like that.
Yeah. They enhance the work environment. They improve overall organizational effectiveness, and here's the kicker, often without incurring additional costs. They're recognized as an additional pillar of strength, quietly reinforcing the whole structure from within.
That's a great visual, an additional powerful pillar supporting everything. And how does their presence, their influence, impact the wider team and even individual careers?
Well, their consistent presence and their actions, they fundamentally empower other team members. People feel more comfortable engaging in goal setting. It fosters peer coaching naturally. It encourages self-motivated quality improvement. It
creates a kind of positive cycle.
Exactly. A virtuous cycle where people feel seen, heard, and valued. And this effectively ties individual career progression directly to cultivating influence, not just waiting for the next promotion slot to open up.
So your impact isn't limited by your title. It's amplified by your ability to connect, inspire, drive change through relationships.
That's the core message. It's incredibly empowering.
This leads us beautifully into the next section of the memoir, The Journey of Self-Leadership, Cultivating Inner Influence. Chaplain David has this deep insight here. He says, authentic leadership starts within, a cultivated spirit that radiates impact outward. Your journey to influence starts inside you.
Mm. Inside you. This isn't about external tricks or strategies yet, is it?
Not at all. This is profound internal work. It's about recognizing that before you can effectively lead anyone else, you have to first and maybe fiercely lead yourself.
And that's why Mr. Everett follows up with that powerful mandate in his memoir. Lead yourself fiercely and watch how effortlessly others begin to follow.
Effortlessly. That's the intriguing part.
It suggests that when the inner work is done, the outer influence flows more naturally. We become leaders not by waiting for authority, but by actively choosing every single day to cultivate influence from the inside out.
So it really starts with our core identity, our sense of who we are. What happens if that's shaky?
That's a critical point David Everett makes. An unstable identity often leads straight to people-pleasing. You're constantly seeking external validation.
Which undermines real leadership.
Totally. It makes you susceptible to external pressures instead of being grounded in your own convictions. Before you can guide or inspire anyone else, you are fundamentally responsible for your own emotions, thoughts, actions, decisions.
Your internal state is the bedrock.
It's the bedrock upon which all your external influence is built. And as David reminds us, those small choices, the ones you make when maybe no one else is watching, except God.
Yeah.
Those are the moments that truly show him, and maybe even yourself, how ready you are to lead others. It's in that quiet faithfulness, that consistency when there's no audience, that true leadership potential is forged.
That's a powerful link between our inner world, our choices, and what Chaplain David calls the panoptic view. What is that? How does seeing the world through this lens shape us?
Your view, your perspective, truly shapes your entire world. If you could adopt what David Everett terms a panoptic lens, you gain this remarkable ability to see how everything fits together.
Like the big picture.
Exactly. How you fit into God's grand design, and also practically, how your specific role, your daily tasks, fit into your organization's broader context and mission. This kind of holistic, interconnected view is vital for leading, especially without authority.
And it sounds like this view directly impacts something really basic, like job satisfaction.
It's directly linked. Your job satisfaction increases when you can see how you fit into that broader picture. It's not just about doing the work, but understanding its place and its purpose.
So it becomes our job, then, to find those connections.
It becomes your responsibility, yes. To actively find ways to connect your daily tasks, no matter how small they seem, to the overall goals. And this perspective is incredibly powerful because, as Mr. Everett points out, even in a really dark or frustrating situation.
Which happens.
Right. If you can maintain this bigger picture, this panoptic view, you can often maintain a surprisingly positive perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You don't let frustration over what you don't have, like a title or more resources, stop you from doing what you can do right now with what you do have.
That's empowering. What are the foundations of this panoptic view? It feels like more than just strategy.
It absolutely is. David Everett identifies two pillars: trust in God and hope in the future.
Trust and hope.
And he emphasizes these aren't just fuzzy concepts. The byproducts are tangible. You gain this contagious energy in your attitude, which can literally change team dynamics. You develop humility toward authority, which helps you work better within structures, and you foster genuine unity with your associates, shifting the focus from me to we towards collective results. It transforms how you see everything.
This all points towards a really crucial realization about our inherent calling, doesn't it? It challenges the whole idea that leadership is something we just wait to be given.
Completely. The message David Everett sends is so clear and liberating.
Yeah.
You are a leader, period, full stop.
Yeah.
Don't wait for a title. Believe deeply that you can influence anyone from anywhere. And this isn't just, you know, fluffy self-talk or motivational hype.
He insists it's self-leadership.
Genuine self-leadership. And Mr. Everett makes this incredibly powerful distinction in the memoir between your ordination and your designation.
Ordination versus designation. Explain that.
Your ordination, he says, is your powerful inherent calling as a leader. It's who you were created to be, your God-given potential. Your designation is just the assignment on your business card, the temporary label for a role.
Okay.
And the calling of ordination, he argues, far outpaces the title of designation in its significance and power. It's way bigger.
That's a truly liberating thought, that our inherent calling, our ordination, is so much greater than any external label. It puts the power back in our hands.
Absolutely. When you truly discover who you have been ordained to be, David emphasizes, you could literally be dropped into any role, anywhere, and you will find a way to cultivate influence. It's part of who you are.
So the ultimate truth is,
you were made to be self-led. To lead without authority, you must begin by leading yourself, because you were created for it. And he poses this compelling question: can anyone really lead you well if you're not leading yourself first?
Probably not. It all begins and ends within. That sets the stage perfectly for our next segment, which is all about ambition, but maybe redefined. Ambition and purpose, the kibosh zone.
Right. And Chaplain David has this fantastic way of reframing ambition itself. He moves it beyond just, you know, a self-serving drive. He reminds us, ambition, when aligned with purpose, transforms a job description into a mission.
Job description to mission. That feels like a subtle shift, but a profound one.
It's a vital reframing. Ambition basically is that strong desire to achieve something, right?
Yeah.
Even if it takes huge effort, focus, determination, it's a powerful engine.
But the misconception is...
The key misconception Mr. Everett identifies is believing you need a specific position of authority to really exercise that ambition effectively. We think, oh, if only I were the manager, then I could really make things happen.
Yeah, that's common.
But the reality, as David Everett points out bluntly in his memoir, is that you will never find that magic place where you can lead without constraints.
Never. There will always be something. Resources, time, other people's priorities.
Exactly. It's an illusion to think a title just magically removes all obstacles. And this leads us to a really fascinating, deeply impactful concept from Chaplain David's memoir, the difference between kibosh and kibosh.
Kibosh versus kibosh. Okay, unpack that.
He goes back to the very beginning, Genesis, God's commandment for the first humans to subdue the earth. He says this is wildly crucial for understanding leadership.
Subdue the earth.
Okay. The Hebrew word for subdue there is kibosh. And doesn't mean dominate like we might think. It means to cultivate, to organize something in such a way that it thrives, grows, and flourishes.
Ah, so it's about nurturing, building up, not just controlling. That's a totally different energy.
Precisely. It contrasts sharply with kibosh, which means to stop, to dispose of, to put an end to something.
Like putting the kibosh on an idea.
Exactly. And David Averett notes that Jesus himself commands his followers not to be like those who lord their authority over others. Instead, great leaders, these silent leaders we're talking about, they live out their identity to kibosh life through influence.
They nurture potential, organize for growth, cultivate environments where people and projects flourish.
That's the heart of it. It's a beautiful and practical distinction. So leading effectively means operating within a specific kind of mindset, or as Chaplain David calls it, a zone.
The kibosh zone.
Yes. To lead effectively, you aim to stay in what Mr. Averett calls the kibosh zone, actively cultivating growth in others, nurturing environments, driving initiatives to glorify God.
And conversely,
you actively avoid the kibosh zone. That's where ambition runs wild without that serving purpose. Or where you just fall into passivity, waiting endlessly for formal authority before you act.
So be a cultivator, not a stopper.
Be a cultivator of life and growth. That distinction really reframes how we think about our daily actions, doesn't it?
It really does. And this leads us naturally into what David Averett identifies as the key foundations, the pillars of influence, trust, collaboration, and communication. He grounds us right away with trust, saying, "Trust is the quiet currency of influence, earned through consistent character and competence."
Quiet currency. That's a brilliant metaphor, isn't it? It implies it's accumulated subtly, maybe slowly, but it's incredibly valuable.
Absolutely. And he says it forms the bedrock for all successful collaboration, all effective influence.
Right. And Mr. Averett emphasizes it's established through two essential pillars. First, character. That means consistently acting in line with ethical principles, showing integrity, demonstrating genuine concern for others' well-being, not just your own agenda.
And the second pillar.
Competence. Possessing the necessary skills and knowledge to do your role well, and importantly, to effectively support your colleagues. Knowing your stuff.
So it's not just what you know, your expertise, but fundamentally who you are as a person. Both are crucial. You need both.
Exactly. David Averett explains that informal leaders gain influence precisely because of their proven expertise and the deep trust they've cultivated over time. It's the combination.
And their credibility grows how?
It's cemented, he says, by consistently demonstrating a deep understanding of facts, doing the homework, engaging in thorough research, and being able to clearly articulate the potential impact of their ideas and actions.
So being prepared.
Being prepared. Trustworthy informal leaders are transparent, they communicate openly and honestly, and they consistently prioritize team and organizational interests over personal gain. That consistency is absolutely key to accumulating that quiet currency of trust.
Okay, the next pillar is collaboration. And Chaplain David nails it again. No one achieves greatness alone. Collaboration weaves individual strengths into collective triumphs. For those of us trying to lead without a title, how does collaboration become a powerful tool?
Well, collaboration stands as this remarkably powerful mechanism for emerging leaders. It helps you connect across different roles, different departments, breaking down those silos that formal structures often create.
It builds bridges.
It builds bridges, exactly. It cultivates an environment where people feel safe, feel empowered to contribute their unique ideas and expertise, and that leads to more resilient, more adaptable, more innovative teams. And profoundly, as David Averett points out, influence itself is built on strong, authentic relationships. You can't really collaborate effectively without them.
So it's really about intentionally investing in people, seeing them as more than just, you know, cogs in a machine.
Absolutely. Investing time to genuinely understand your colleagues, their motivations, their values, their working styles, even their challenges, that's paramount for effective collaboration.
And build your network wide.
Mr. Averett encourages us.
Yeah.
Build your network far beyond just your immediate team. Actively encourage connections, friendships, across all levels and departments. By fostering trust and mutual respect through that genuine engagement, you cultivate this robust network of allies.
Allies who will support your initiatives.
Exactly. People who are not just willing, but maybe even eager to support you. This network becomes your leverage point, your source of power, when you don't have formal authority.
And the third pillar David Averett highlights. Communication. He paints such a vivid picture here. Words are seeds of influence. Plant them wisely, water them with empathy, and watch ideas bloom.
That image of planting and nurturing words, It's really striking, isn't it? It underscores the profound power of language.
It really does. Effective communication is indispensable for influencing others, especially without a title.
And it involves much more than just, you know, conveying information clearly. It means tailoring your message to the specific audience you're talking to.
Knowing who you're speaking with?
Right. Employing clear and persuasive language, ensuring your ideas are articulated with precision and impact. It's about being truly heard and understood, not just making noise.
So it's not just about logic, then. It's about connection.
Indeed. David Averitt emphasizes that persuasion goes way beyond just presenting logical facts. It requires framing those facts in a way that resonates emotionally with the audience, addressing their concerns, their hopes, their pain points.
Storytelling comes in here.
Storytelling can be incredibly powerful. It vividly illustrates the benefits of your idea, or maybe highlights the risks of not acting in a way that data alone just can't. And Mr. Averitt offers a crucial practical tip here. Be concise.
Get to the point.
Yes. Synthesize complex ideas into their most important points. Make judicious use of concise conversations. This significantly increases the chance that busy stakeholders will actually give you their full attention and grasp your message. Don't waste their time. Earn their focus.
Moving from these foundational pillars to more strategic action, let's explore strategic alignment and leading by example. Chaplain David offers a principle here that feels like a compass. When your vision aligns with the greater mission, your influence becomes unstoppable.
Unstoppable. That sounds bold, doesn't it?
It does, but David Averitt explains why it holds true. To effectively get support, to secure genuine buy-in from people at all levels, it's crucial to actively align your ideas, your objectives, with the broader organizational priorities.
So it's not just about having a good idea, it's about showing how it fits.
Exactly. This isn't just, you know, playing politics. This strategic alignment creates powerful synergies. It drives collective success because you're leveraging areas where the organization is already putting attention and resources. You're essentially joining a current that's already flowing.
Ah, okay. So it's about finding that common ground, that shared purpose, even if your specific idea seems small or niche at first.
Precisely. A highly effective way to exert influence, as Mr. Averitt highlights in his memoir, is to identify and then clearly communicate those common objectives. He suggests asking that fundamental question. How can I link what I want to achieve with the goals of others?
That simple question can be powerful.
It can galvanize a group into action. By illuminating those shared interests, showing how individual efforts contribute to a collective win, and demonstrating a comprehensive understanding of the whole organization, not just your little corner.
Right, thinking beyond your silo.
That's particularly vital when you're collaborating with colleagues in different areas. It shows you're thinking big picture, strategically.
Okay, that makes sense. Then David Averitt follows with this really tangible point about leading by example. Mm-hmm. He says, don't just point the way, be the way. Your actions echo louder than any directive.
Either way, how does this actually look in practice, especially for someone without formal authority?
This is truly core to authentic influence. Inspirational leaders, they motivate others by tapping into that universal human need, the need to be recognized, to be valued, to contribute something meaningful.
They don't just tell, they show.
Exactly. They actively encourage and uplift others. They create opportunities for people to apply their unique strengths. And Mr. Averitt says it perfectly. The power of your actions often speaks louder than your words. Therefore, your influence as a leader is profoundly measured by how effectively you model the behaviors you wish to see in others. You are your own best or worst advertisement.
And if those actions don't match the words, if there's a disconnect, that influence just evaporates, right? Integrity feels paramount here.
It absolutely is. If your actions don't align with your stated principles, influence will inevitably diminish. Hypocrisy, even if it's unintentional, is a fast killer of trust.
But the opposite is also true.
The opposite is true, too. Empowering others, actively seeking their input, valuing diverse perspectives, involving them in co-creating solutions that fosters deep buy-in and significantly multiplies your influence across the organization. This isn't just delegating tasks. It's genuine shared ownership.
And David Averitt captures this by saying,
true leaders do not merely create followers. They cultivate more leaders. The multiplication of leadership capacity is the accurate measure of impact. That's the real legacy, isn't it? Cultivating other leaders.
It truly sounds like all these principles, trust, collaboration, communication, alignment, leading by example, they're all woven together. They're not just separate tactics.
They're completely intertwined. David Averitt explains that these principles for influencing without authority are interconnected, they reinforce each other, Think of them like building blocks that hold each other up.
Give me an example.
Okay, building strong relationships directly leads to developing trust.
Right.
Right. And that trust, in turn, enhances your credibility and reputation. High credibility makes your communication more persuasive, and effective communication is essential for aligning goals across different groups. See the chain.
Yeah, it's a virtuous cycle. Each positive action strengthens the others.
Precisely. And when goals are aligned and trust is present, empowering others becomes much more effective. That leads to collective success, which further reinforces the initial trust and credibility you established. And leading by example, as Chaplain David emphasizes, serves as the ethical and practical foundation holding it all together.
So a holistic approach is best. You can't just pick one.
Right. An integrated approach is far more effective and sustainable than just focusing on individual tactics in isolation. They work as a system.
What happens if one part of that system is weak? Can a deficiency in one area undermine everything else?
It absolutely can. A lack of trust, for instance, maybe due to inconsistent character, can quickly undermine all your other efforts.
Mm-mm.
Your communication, your attempts to empower others, they'll be met with skepticism, no matter how brilliant your ideas are.
Trust is foundational.
Foundational. So cultivating influence isn't a one-time project. It's a continuous, multifaceted process.
Mm.
It creates this self-reinforcing cycle of positive impact, where each success strengthens the foundation for future influence. It's an ongoing journey.
Okay, let's get even more practical now with practical strategies for amplifying impact. Chaplain David gives us this clear call to action in his memoir. Don't just aspire to lead. Strategically act on opportunities and influence will follow.
Yeah, move from aspiration to action.
So what are some concrete ways we can embrace this? How do we start acting strategically?
Well, one really potent way to influence without formal authority, as David Everett stresses, is simply by becoming a recognized subject matter expert in your field. Your deep knowledge, your insightful perspective, your sound judgment, these naturally become a source of credibility.
People seek you out.
Others seek you out for guidance and solutions. When people genuinely respect your expertise, they will come to you, and your advice carries real weight. Another critical aspect is building a consistent track record of success.
Delivering results.
Reliably delivering on commitments, often exceeding expectations. This builds a powerful reputation. It establishes you as someone who gets things done. And that significantly increases others' willingness to collaborate with you and follow your lead. Reliability builds trust.
So it's about proving your value through competence and reliability consistently over time, not just a one-off win.
Exactly. And in many environments today, especially technical or data-driven fields, leveraging data and evidence to back up your claims is absolutely crucial. Your ability to interpret complex information and clearly explain it to different audiences.
Both technical and non-technical people.
Right. That ability further enhances your influence. It makes your arguments more compelling, your solutions more trusted, and your overall impact more profound. Data can speak volumes, but only if you can translate it effectively into actionable insight.
Another powerful strategy David Averett highlights is proactive problem solving, becoming indispensable. It sounds like the key here is shifting from just identifying issues to actually bringing solutions.
Absolutely. Proactive problem solving serves as an incredibly powerful catalyst for influence. Maybe one of the most direct ways to demonstrate leadership without a title. It means you consistently bring practical, well-thought-out solutions to the table rather than just pointing out problems.
Don't just complain, contribute.
Exactly. By proactively identifying challenges and, more importantly, offering those well-considered practical solutions, an informal leader doesn't just address an immediate need, they also build significant credibility and become, as the title says, an indispensable resource.
The go-to person, essentially. Someone seen as part of the solution.
That's it, precisely. This positions you as that go-to person, someone others naturally turn to for guidance and support, rather than someone who needs to be managed or constantly told what to do. David Averett argues this approach truly transforms that potential weakness lacking formal authority into a profound strength.
How so?
It subtly shifts perceptions. It establishes you as a leader by default, even without the title. It's a powerful way to earn influence and respect, proving your worth through consistent, impactful contributions that actually alleviate the burden on formal leaders and significantly advance the organization's goals.
Ultimately, being known as a value-added problem solver is far more impactful than simply having a title on your door.
Mr. Averett then outlined some really specific key shifts for influence in his memoir. These feel like fundamental changes in how we approach our work. First one, embrace ownership. Think like a CEO.
Yeah, stop thinking like an employee. Start thinking like an owner.
How does this mindset shift actually empower influence? What does it look like? Well, this is a profound shift that completely changes your level of engagement. David Averitt explains it simply. An owner doesn't walk past trash on the floor and think, oh, that's someone else's job.
Right, the owner picks it up.
The owner picks it up. Hmm. They feel a personal responsibility for the entire enterprise, not just their little piece. And he connects this deeply to our spiritual identity. He says, you are a child of God working for your dad, and all your work matters to God, who holds you accountable for it.
Wow. That elevates everything.
It imbues everything you do with purpose and personal responsibility, way beyond just a job description. It changes why and how you work.
Okay, the second shift he advises, master your time. Schedule strategic thinking. This feels revolutionary in our always-on, back-to-back meeting culture. Stop stacking meetings. Start scheduling thinking meetings.
It is absolutely vital for developing critical thinking and, therefore, effective influence. To think deeply, to connect disparate ideas, to innovate, you need uninterrupted mental space. You just do.
How does Mr. Averitt describe it?
He describes it as taking a moment to pause, to look deeply, to really observe patterns, and then to connect the dots in new ways. The practical application. Literally block out short, dedicated periods on your calendar just for thinking and reflection.
Treat it like a real meeting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not a luxury. He argues it's a necessity for anyone aspiring to genuine influence. You simply can't solve complex problems if you're constantly just reacting to the next email or notification.
Makes sense. And the third key shift. Build up, don't tear down. Focus on constructive critique. Stop being merely critical. Start thinking critically. What's the real difference there?
The difference, as Chaplain David explains it, is absolutely huge. It makes all the difference in your actual impact. Being critical, with a capital C, often means consciously or unconsciously wanting others to lose.
Ah.
Yeah. Tearing down ideas or people, bringing only problems without offering solutions, and maybe deep down wanting personal credit for just identifying flaws.
Mm-hmm.
It's a destructive energy.
Okay, versus thinking critically.
Thinking critically, on the other hand, means wanting others to win, helping to strengthen processes and people, bringing well-thought-out solutions to the table, genuinely wanting to make things better for the collective good.
And the actionable advice here?
It's truly profound. Stop giving others a grade. Start lending them a hand. Always present possible solutions to any problem you raise. Don't just drop the problem on the table.
And timing matters.
Critically. David Averitt stresses, wait until you are calm before you discuss an issue. Emotional reactions rarely lead to productive, collaborative solutions. And he concludes this point with that powerful metaphor we mentioned earlier.
The towel and the clipboard.
Right. The power of the towel, symbolizing serving others, is always more potent than the power of the clipboard, symbolizing mere authority and judgment. Serve, don't just assess.
That's a beautiful image. It really captures that servant leadership spirit. And finally, David Averitt urges us to take initiative, guiding us with what he calls the 10-80-10 rule. This means taking the initiative to find and solve problems without waiting for permission. That feels like a direct challenge to just sitting back.
It absolutely is. David Averitt asserts that passivity often hides behind permission language. You know, well, no one told me to do that. It allows us to avoid responsibility.
By waiting for someone else.
Right. True initiative, he argues, asks a different question. What can I do right now? It's about looking for ways to add value, identifying problems that need solving, and acting on what you can control rather than getting stuck on what you can't.
And this proactive approach shows leadership potential.
Clearly. It demonstrates leadership potential and builds that reputation for impactful contribution we talked about. And the 10-80-10 rule provides a robust, actionable framework to exercise this initiative and lead autonomously, even without formal authority.
Okay, break it down for us. What are the three steps of the 10-80-10 rule?
Chaplain David lays it out as three distinct phases. The first 10%. Clarify your North Star.
North Star.
Meaning, take the time up front to clarify the purpose and the desired outcomes of your initiative with your leader or whoever the relevant stakeholders are. Ensure initial alignment and understanding. This clarity sets the direction. It's crucial.
Okay, first 10% is clarity and alignment. What's the middle 80%?
The middle 80%. Own the journey. This is where you really run the project autonomously. You take full ownership, drive progress, address challenges independently, leverage your skills, your network, make that positive impact. This is the heavy lifting where you demonstrate your capability.
Got it. And the final 10%.
The final 10%, Polish and present. Here you circle back. You recheck for alignment with those original goals. You polish the final output, make sure it meets the standards. Then you present the results and seek final feedback.
So it's a complete cycle. Clarity, execution, and then closure.
A complete cycle of empowered, autonomous action that demonstrates immense leadership capacity, all potentially without a formal mandate.
This all sounds incredibly empowering, very actionable. But let's be real. Leading without authority isn't always easy. It requires navigating some tricky dynamics. Let's talk about navigating challenges and overcoming resistance. What specific hurdles does David Averitt identify?
Yeah, it's not always smooth sailing. He points out some specific, often frustrating challenges, things like a potential lack of executive sponsorship. If the higher-ups aren't visibly backing you, other stakeholders might question the legitimacy or priority of your initiative.
Makes sense. What else?
You might run into behavioral issues from colleagues, things like manipulation or passive resistance, just dragging their feet.
Yeah.
That can quickly erode trust and just stall progress.
That sounds frustrating.
Incredibly. Insufficient resources for your initiatives can also lead to feelings of powerlessness, demoralization. And then there's often just a general ingrained resistance to change within organizations, no matter how good the idea is.
People like the status quo.
Often, yes. Plus, you can face communication barriers, a lack of understanding from stakeholders about why your initiative even matters, its value. And finally, just difficulty gaining visibility with the key decision makers, the ones who hold the formal power. Getting on their radar can be tough.
Okay, those are real challenges. And what about common mistakes? Things we might do wrong when trying to influence? What does Chaplain David warn us against?
He highlights three critical mistakes to actively avoid. First, and this is a big one, not building social capital.
We talked about relational capital earlier.
Exactly. But many people unfortunately see relationship building as playing politics, and they actively avoid it. They think it's somehow dirty. But influence is fundamentally rooted in trust and strong relationships. So avoiding it is basically self-sabotage.
Okay, mistake number one, neglecting relationships. What's number two?
Unclear goals. Failing to state explicitly what you need from others makes it incredibly easy for your ideas to just get dismissed or for people to poke holes in them because the target isn't clear. Vagueness is the enemy of influence.
And the third mistake?
Missing the big picture. Focusing only on your specific process, your immediate task, rather than clearly demonstrating how your initiative aligns with and actually helps solve larger organizational goals. If you can't connect your effort to the strategic whole, it often gets lost or ignored.
Okay, so knowing the challenges and the common mistakes, what are David Averitt's strategies for actually overcoming these hurdles? How do we navigate this?
All right, strategy time. For building that crucial social capital, Chaplain David advises adopting a customer service mindset towards your colleagues and leaders.
Customer service mindset. Interesting.
Yeah. Proactively identify and serve the needs of other leaders. Build genuine personal connections. Regularly inform department heads of your progress. Keep them in the loop. Follow up consistently. Manage setbacks calmly, with grace. Stay positive. And publicly praise senior leaders when they offer support. It builds goodwill.
Okay, that's for social capital. What about ensuring clarity?
To ensure clarity, collaboratively find common goals. Don't just present your idea, discuss yours and theirs. Ask open-ended questions to truly understand their needs rather than just issuing directives. And always tie your objectives to their interests with a clear time frame. Make it relevant to them.
And aligning with the big picture.
For aligning with the big picture, first, familiarize yourself deeply with the organization's strategic plans and priorities. Know where the ship is heading. Then, actively engage with senior leaders to help advance those priorities. And sometimes this means being willing to set aside your own pet idea for the organization's greater success. Finally, always proactively use data and metrics to measure your outcomes and prove the value you're adding. Show, don't just tell.
It sounds like so much of this really hinges on strong interpersonal skills, which brings us to the power of emotional intelligence, or EQ.
Absolutely. High emotional intelligence is indeed a hallmark of influential informal leaders, David Averitt notes this clearly. They skillfully navigate complex social dynamics. They listen empathetically, truly listen. They provide constructive feedback effectively, and they ensure others feel genuinely understood.
And this builds that personal capital he mentioned.
Exactly. The degree to which people like and trust you, that personal capital significantly facilitates their willingness to adopt your ideas and support your initiatives. It just lowers the barrier to entry for your influence. If people trust you, they're more likely to listen.
So how do we intentionally build that personal capital, that reservoir of goodwill?
You build it by consistently demonstrating genuine interest in others, asking about them, remembering details, through active listening. By consistently following through on your promises, reliability is huge, being responsive when people reach out, and generously recognizing the contributions of others. Give credit away.
And confidence matters too.
Yes. Displaying confidence in your ideas and abilities, coupled with appropriate assertiveness, being clear and direct, without being aggressive or steamrolling people that can effectively persuade others. But, and this is crucial, David Everett highlights you must balance this confidence with humility.
Ah, that balance again. Confidence and humility.
Right. A servant leader approach, where you genuinely seek to serve and empower others, builds much deeper trust. It encourages others to follow because they perceive you as a collaborator, a partner, rather than a commander trying to boss them around.
It's that beautiful paradox, isn't it, that allows effective leaders to articulate ideas with conviction, inspire belief,
while simultaneously fostering receptiveness, encouraging input, and sharing credit generously.
Yeah.
David Averett states that effective informal leaders are deeply self-aware. Their strength comes from a secure understanding of their own abilities and limitations, combined with a genuine willingness to learn, to serve, and to empower others.
It really demonstrates that the most impactful influence isn't about being the boss.
Not at all. It's about being a trusted, competent, and collaborative partner who genuinely seeks to elevate everyone around them. That's where the real power lies.
To really help us put all this into a practical structure, David Averett offers something called the CORE Framework for Influence. What does CORE stand for? How does it guide us?
Okay, the CORE Framework. As outlined in Chaplain David's memoir, it stands for Clarify, Own, Request, and Establish. C-O-R-E. It provides a structured, actionable approach for anyone seeking to achieve results through influence, especially when they lack direct authority. It brings a kind of method to the art of influence.
All right, let's break down each component. First, C, clarify your mission and objectives. What does that mean when you don't have formal authority?
Well, in the absence of formal authority, David Averett asserts that clarity is truly your most valuable tool. You must align your mission and objectives with the broader corporate or organizational goals. This isn't just nice, it's necessary to get traction.
So clear alignment first.
Yes. Then craft precise and repeatable messaging. Make it easy for people to understand and remember what you're trying to achieve. And crucially, focus on the shared benefits for all stakeholders. This minimizes misunderstandings and builds trust right from the start. If people don't get it or don't see what's in it for them or the org, it's likely to fail.
Okay, clarity first. Next, O. Own your relationships. This sounds like it builds on that relational capital idea.
Exactly. Strong relationships undeniably amplify influence. So this step means you need to proactively map out your key stakeholders.
Map them out, like literally.
Yeah, identify who the real decision makers are, who could be potential sponsors for your initiative, people with clout who can champion it, who could be your ambassadors, the cheerleaders who spread the word, and critically, who might be the critics.
Don't ignore the critics.
No. Then you strategically engage each role. Ambassadors will promote it, sponsors provide high-level support, and critics, when you engage them constructively, actually offer valuable perspectives that could help strengthen your initiative by pointing out blind spots you might have missed.
Yeah.
Own those relationships proactively.
Got it. Then R, request support strategically. This is where you actually ask for things.
Right. Influence often requires asking for the right resources, for sponsorship, for collaboration, but it has to be at the opportune moment and in the right way. David Averett advises your request should always be specific. Don't be vague.
Use data.
Leverage data whenever possible to demonstrate critical needs. Clearly frame the benefits for everyone involved, not just you. And establish accountability mechanisms. What happens next? Who does what by when? A vague ask with no clear benefit or follow-up plan rarely gains traction. Be strategic in your requests.
Makes sense. And finally, E, establish boundaries and accountability. This seems really important when you don't have formal power to just make things happen.
It's crucial. Even without formal authority, Mr. Averett emphasizes you must define expectations clearly and create accountability structures to ensure your initiative actually progresses. Otherwise, it can just drift.
So what does that look like?
It includes setting clear roles for everyone involved, implementing regular feedback loops. How are we doing? Are we on track? And having a plan for escalating issues to neutral parties if persistent manipulation or resistance starts hindering progress. This ensures your informal leadership has structure, integrity, and a pathway to resolution. preventing burnout or just endless frustration. Gives your influence teeth, in a way.
This brings us to a really interesting, maybe challenging aspect, the art of challenging effectively and multi-directional influence. Chaplain David has a courageous take on challenging within an organization. He shares, "True courage in leadership isn't about challenging authority, but about challenging for improvement."
That's a critical distinction, isn't it?
Yeah.
It reframes the whole act of challenging. It's not about rebellion. It's about making things better.
And David Everett points out some basic human psychology here. Like, when we hear an opinion different from ours, we often perceive it as rejection.
Yeah, a personal rejection. And when someone challenges us, it often feels threatening because it inherently calls for change, and change can feel uncomfortable, even risky.
And he notes that the more personally invested a boss is in their job or project,
the more personally they're likely to take your challenge. It feels like criticism of them, not just the idea. And people also tend to react to any challenge to the present system as criticism of past leadership. When you challenge what is, people often experience it as criticism of who was.
Yeah.
It gets tangled up in history and personalities.
So knowing all that, how do we navigate it instead of just waiting?
Right. Instead of wasting time waiting for the perfect moment or for someone else to act, the focus should be on, well, what can you do? Learn a new skill that helps. Find a way to proactively remove an obstacle that's hindering your team's performance. Take action yourself.
So how do we approach challenging effectively? David Everett offers what he calls CPR for leadership skills in his memoir. Break down CPR for us.
Okay, CPR, a practical framework. The C is for choosing. First, find something that genuinely needs to change. Then, choose to own it. Don't just point it out. Take responsibility for finding a solution. Develop a realistic plan to address the issue.
Choose and plan. What's P?
P is for planning. And this is huge. Never, ever present your boss with just a problem. Always, always have a well-thought-out plan in place for the solution. This shows initiative, it shows respect for their time, and it takes a burden off their shoulders. You're bringing a potential fix, not just a complaint.
Makes sense. And R?
R is for responding. Respond to what's truly important to your boss. Consider what's creating the most stress for them right now. What problems keep coming up in staff meetings? What kind of team accomplishment has really pleased them recently? Connect your challenge, your proposed solution, to their priorities, not just your own agenda. Show how it helps them.
That's incredibly practical. It could really change the dynamic of those conversations. What about our motives and our communication style when we're challenging? Intentions matter.
They matter immensely. David Everett emphasizes that great leaders challenge with the best motives. They genuinely want to improve things for the team, for the organization, not just complain or make themselves look smart.
How should they position the challenge?
When possible, position your challenge as a clear, logical step towards solving a problem the boss is already looking to address. Integrate your solution into their existing priorities. Make it easy for them to say yes.
Keep it focused.
Keep the challenge related to core issues, things that truly impact the business or the mission, rather than getting bogged down in peripheral or minor details. And employ a thoughtful strategy to engage and communicate effectively with whoever you're challenging. And the words. Chaplain David has that strong warning.
The bricks, building bridges or walls.
Exactly. The words you use are bricks. They either build a bridge of relationship, fostering collaboration, or they build a wall of distrust, shutting down the conversation. Choose your bricks carefully.
So what specific communication pitfalls should we absolutely avoid when challenging?
David Everett is very clear here. Avoid constantly comparing your organization unfavorably to another one, well, at my old company. Avoid using definitive black and white statements that invalidate the work or intentions of anyone involved. Absolutely avoid blaming anyone focused on the issue, not the person. And definitely avoid obstinately making an ultimatum, do this or else. Ultimatums rarely lead to constructive outcomes.
So instead of those things.
Instead, Mr. Everett advises, strategically include your boss in evaluating alternatives. Make them part of the solution-finding process, rather than just the recipient of your finished idea or critique. It fosters buy-in. He acknowledges challenging your boss can feel risky.
But worth it.
But ultimately, it's worth the risk for your own growth as a leader and for the positive change you can help bring about. Courage is required.
And finally, a concept that really pulls all this together. Showing the full scope of influence. Multi-directional influence, leading up, across, and down. This means realizing your influence isn't just aimed one way.
That's right. David Everett argues that you possess the inherent ability to lead powerfully, no matter your position in the formal hierarchy. Your sphere of influence extends in all directions.
So, leading up.
Leading up means influencing your superiors.
How?
By proactively offering those well-thought-out solutions we talked about, by aligning your initiatives with their priorities, by consistently providing valuable insights that genuinely make their work easier and more effective, become a trusted advisor to them.
Leading across.
Leading across involves forging strong partnerships with your colleagues, your peers, and other departments or teams. Build robust, authentic relationships. Find common ground on shared objectives. Foster mutual support to achieve those goals together. Break down the silos.
And leading down, even without direct reports.
Yes. Leading down means that even without formal reporting lines, you inspire and guide those who naturally look to you for advice or expertise. You mentor, you empower, you support their growth. You generously encourage their contributions and recognize their achievements. You build people up.
So this multidirectional approach creates a more holistic impact.
A holistic, pervasive impact across the entire organization, truly transcending those traditional, rigid, hierarchical boundaries. It's about leading from wherever you are in every direction.
As we bring this deep dive into Chaplain David Averitt's powerful memoir, The Silent Leaders, to a close, he provides this ultimate measure of a life well-led. It really resonates. He says, "The accurate measure of a life well-led is not the echo of your titles, but the ripple of your influence across every life you touch."
The ripple of influence, not the echo of titles. We've journeyed through this profound truth today that leadership isn't some position bestowed on a few, but rather a powerful active influence accessible to absolutely anyone, regardless of formal authority.
Yeah, from mastering that inner self leadership, cultivating a positive mindset,
to strategically solving problems, embracing a servant's heart. David Averitt's memoir really provides a clear, actionable blueprint for impact, an impact that extends far beyond old ideas of power.
We've seen how historical giants, you know, Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, how they wielded immense moral authority and profound influence to reshape nations, often from positions of great challenge, not formal power.
Exactly. And in our fast-paced, hyper-connected 21st century, these insights are maybe more relevant than ever before. The digital age, with its vast networks, provides unprecedented platforms to amplify your voice, expand your reach,
making that ripple effect of influence even more potent.
Just imagine for a moment the tangible impact of applying these principles. Imagine a workplace where, say, a junior team member, just by consistently offering good solutions and fostering real collaboration, inspires a whole new culture of innovation, leads to record-breaking project success, uplifts team morale, all without ever getting a promotion or a new title, just through influence.
Or imagine a church where a passionate volunteer uses their skills, maybe social media skills, their understanding of the community,
and builds vibrant online communities, connecting hundreds to faith and support.
Right.
Organically raising up entirely new ministries that meet real, pressing needs, simply through their dedication and influence, not a formal role.
And imagine a home where, through intentional self-leadership, through consistent, selfless acts of service, one family member creates this atmosphere of peace, mutual encouragement, shared purpose.
Shaping resilient, compassionate individuals who then carry that spirit out into the world. These aren't just, you know, nice stories. These are the realities of silent leaders making a difference every day.
Your opportunity to lead is not in some distant future promotion. It is right now. You don't need permission. You don't need a fancy title. What you need is conviction, courage.
The world around you, your workplace, your community, your family, your unique sphere of influence, it's waiting. Waiting for the unique influence only you can offer.
Go forth and light up your sphere. Remember, the journey to becoming an influential leader, a silent leader, starts with just a single powerful step. Your choice to lead from precisely where you are right now.
And as Chaplain David Averitt expresses so beautifully at the end of his memoir, your journey matters.
And we truly want to be a part of it.
Yeah. Whether you feel ready to maybe launch a nonprofit, or you're seeking powerful prayer, or just searching for renewed hope, a fresh start in your life, our team at CA Jail Outreach is genuinely prepared to assist you.
And they also extend that dedicated support to individuals currently within the jail system, and importantly to their families and children, offering a helping hand when it's needed most.
Their commitment is really to walk alongside people on their journey.
So to connect with them, to explore these vital resources and support, just visit their website. You'll find the website linked conveniently right there for you in the deep dive description. Just tap the blue highlighted text.
And for that truly deeper dive into everything we've touched on today, the full 37-page memoir, The Silent Leaders, Wielding Power Without the Podium, it's available right there on the website.
Look under the Leadership Memoir tab on the menu bar. It provides all the detail, all the supporting scriptures, the extensive background. Please share the message that CA Jail Outreach is there to help.
As David Averitt himself says in closing his memoir, more than just a voice, we're a helping hand and a praying heart. Let's connect and build your tomorrow, starting today.
Thanks for listening.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.
Until the trumpet blows.
Wishing you a fantastic day.
Thanks for joining us on The Growth Journey. If you're ready to keep growing in faith, leadership, and life, be sure to follow the show and share it with someone on their own path. For more resources to connect with David Averitt, visit cajailoutreach.org. Until next time, keep pursuing real life, real growth, and divinely inspired results.